This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. People are becoming more conscious about the food they eat. They want to know where it came from, how it was produced and processed. But even the most careful shoppers may not know that almost 500,000 children are working in farm fields across the country to grow their groceries. And the conditions in those fields are not always good. A lot of these children are members of immigrant families that often start in Florida and work their way up the East Coast to North Carolina. We get a glimpse of their story in a documentary produced by a group of students at Duke University. It's called Uprooted Innocence, and it's part of a class called Video for Social Change. Catherine Bitar is one of the students who helped produce the film. She's here today. And Emily Drakage is here, too. She's the NC regional coordinator of an advocacy project called Children in the Fields Campaign. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Emily, give us an overview of this problem. Tell us about the scope of child workers in the fields.
Well, many people don't know that the child labor law does not include the agricultural industry. So you can work as young as 12 years old, and in some cases as young as 10 and 11, unlimited number of hours in the fields outside of school hours. And children are also permitted to perform hazardous work at a much younger age than any other industry. So there is a loophole in the law that does not provide the same protections as they do in any other working environment. Now, we see kids as young as 6 years old working in the fields, and the difference between a child working on a family farm or as opposed to working on a large industrial scale farm is that they are amongst acres and acres of fields in the middle of an area they are not familiar with. They may not have a break. They work sometimes 10 to 12 hours a day from sun up to sundown. They're exposed to dangerous pesticides. They're also they're bending over and doing backbreaking labor every day. And these children are still developing. Their bodies are suffering as a consequence. And so we see that these children need to be protected just like any other child.
And you talked about, we talked about 500,000 children in the U.S. Are there any protections at all?
Well, the protections that are given to them are that you have to be 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And there's bare minimum protections.
If they felt there were any violations, what kind of recourse do they have?
Well, the thing is a lot of times the root issue of kids being out there in the fields is that their family needs that supplemental income. Farm workers do not make minimum wage. They barely make a living wage. And so they need their kids to bring in that small amount of money just so that they can eat at the end of the day. And so if they were to make a complaint, they're risking their parents being laid off or fired or blacklisted from another grower.
Catherine, tell us about this film now. The students in your class put together this film. How much did you know about this issue before you made the film?
Quite honestly, before the class, didn't know anything of the issue. Wasn't really aware of the huge problem at hand. And I think that's why it was so interesting coming in and learning about all of these so obvious injustices. And it just simply doesn't make sense that there's this loophole and that these children are not being protected. And it's so obvious, being a newcomer, that this problem shouldn't be existing. The laws that are currently standing are so outdated. They are not taking into consideration the current environment that Emily just described as being in the fields. And as she was saying, these kids, their entire future and everything is being completely uprooted. They're not getting the opportunity to go to school, to be educated. They're having all these health consequences, and they're just simply not being protected.
Are the kids mostly with their families in these situations, or are these kids separated?
You know, in the past, we would see generally families with their children beside them, helping them in the fields. But now, more common, we're finding out of school unaccompanied minors who are traveling on their own and are often subjected to more exploitation because they may not have the protection of a parent or a guardian with them.
Catherine, what was the most surprising thing for you in putting this film together?
Well, I think seeing that there simply aren't being action taken. There is not being anything done for this obvious problem. And interacting with the kids on a personal level, interviewing them, hearing their stories and hearing also still the optimism that they have. One of the kids said when they grew up, they wanted to be a lawyer so that they could change the laws and protect other children. I mean, that's amazing to hear, and yet it's secretly so upsetting because you know realistically half of the kids working in the fields don't even graduate high school. They aren't going to have these opportunities. And right now, no adult or person of authority is stepping up to take ownership and protect these kids.
And even if they got out of high school, they're not going to have the money to go to
schools
because the schools don't recognize them if they're not documented. It's getting harder and harder to do. Let's hear a clip from the documentary Uprooted Innocence, and some of the young people that you interviewed describe their conditions.
I've started working in the tobacco field since I was 12. It was like I would work Monday through Saturday, and I would start working from 6 to 4 or 5 in the afternoon.
My mom, she used to take me so she would see how hard it was. And it was just hard. It was hot in the day, and you would get tired easily.
And since it's plain and there's no trees around, you really don't get no shade to cover you from the sun. I used to get like these bumps on my skin that were not, I was in too much heat. And then I started getting nosebleeds.
Uprooted Innocence, a clip from the film produced by a group of Duke students. Catherine Bitar is one of those filmmakers. She's here with me now. When you start showing this film to other people who may not have known much more than you did, what's been the response on campus to this film?
Every single person that has seen the film or heard of the story that I've been describing and interacting with simply don't understand. It doesn't make sense. And you can't help but feel the obligation to help these children. Children don't have the power to change the policy. They don't have the power to organize. And it's our responsibility as citizens, as adults, to make up that difference and help them. And I think that has been the wide response, is that this needs to be changed. It doesn't make sense that it's existing like this and that action needs to be taken.
And of course, there's a certain system of logic in which it does make sense. That's an economic system, an agricultural system that requires this cheap labor that really doesn't have a whole lot of voice. But what can be done? Emily, who has jurisdiction here? Can the state do anything about it, or is federal law trump?
No, actually, federal law does not trump. The Farm Worker Advocacy Network has been working with a number of lobbyists and certain representatives to present a bill that would do just that, close the loophole. And this was introduced last year. It did not make it out of the Agriculture Committee. It was a bipartisan supported bill. However, it did not even get an up or down vote. And so essentially the North Carolina Department of Labor is charged with making sure that they uphold their responsibility of protecting the safety and well-being of all workers, meaning whether they're children or they're not. And one thing to note is that agriculture is one of the three most dangerous occupations in the nation, and we're allowing these kids as young as 12 and in some instances 10.
What's the goal? Would the goal be to end child labor in agriculture or to make it more safe?
Well, the goal would be kind of a combination of two. We know that the root issue is that farm worker families are not making enough income because they're earning piece rate or they're earning below. And so the first step is getting the kids out of the field, out of a dangerous situation, and in an educational program that can keep them on the track to success. And one thing that I would like to make clear is that we're not dissuading children in general from being involved in agricultural projects. We're just saying that you must have the same protections for every child in any working industry. They should be the same. And this loophole right now does not reflect the current realities on the ground as they did in 1938 when the Fair Labor Standards Act was enacted.
So you say the State Labor Department then would have jurisdiction. Have you talked to them, and what do they say about this?
Yes, actually, we recently, the Farm Worker Advocacy Network just approached the North Carolina Department of Labor, and we held a meeting with the Commissioner Sherry Berry. And we spoke with her about these issues about child labor, and her responses were in the realm of saying that they could not support any change unless the regulated community agreed, and also that there was not enough evidence, even though we have provided substantial evidence of kids working in the fields for her to do anything about it. And then finally, the last point that she made was that that this was an immigration issue, and that until the immigration issue was solved, she couldn't touch this child labor issue.
So the Labor Department here in the state is not prepared to do anything until they talk to the agriculture industry about changing the rules that govern that industry.
Correct.
Is that what I got?
Yeah, that was the responses that we received from the meeting.
And the legislature, the last time there was an effort to change the law, it died in the Agriculture Committee, though there was bipartisan support.
Correct.
In terms of sponsorship. But then the Agriculture Committee, again, representing, I think, mostly the agricultural interest.
Mm-hmm.
Killed the bill. So, Catherine, what are you studying? You're not studying farm work. You're studying.
No, I'm a public policy studies major at Duke.
And what has this film done for you in terms of your where you're headed now in your career?
Well, I've become very interested in being a community organizer or an activist, trying to give voice to people or problems or organizations that don't have one. So, this is an organization and an issue that I think is of utmost importance, especially in North Carolina, given how strong the state is dependent on agriculture. And this type of activism and getting laws and policies changed is what I'm interested in doing. It's important.
Thank you both for being on the program today. Catherine Bitar, a Duke student who helped produce the documentary Uprooted Innocence. It's part of the Video for Social Change class led by artist-in-residence Bruce Ornstein. Emily Drakage is NC Regional Coordinator of the Children in the Fields campaign. Next up, we talk facts and fictions about the slave rebellion led by Nat Turner on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.